that nation, and God is blessing them and their ministry. Cody and Heather just transitioned, and we just talked to them this week. In fact, we're sending a special gift to help them. They've had some challenges as they are relocating. They made it, some of you remember, we just prayed over them a couple of weeks ago. And as they journeyed to their new destination, their van broke down in Lexington. That's all the farther they made it. And they had to spend 2 days in Lexington getting the van fixed. So we're going to help them and bless them through some additional funds we have there in the Harvest Project. So lots of great people here doing amazing things, Project. So would you join me as we pray together? Father, we just pray in Jesus' strong name for every one of those missionaries, every one of those ministries to be fully provided for, to have more than enough, to be able to be a blessing in every occasion, because you're a generous God who gives freely. Lord, you've said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and we just are thankful that we get to be conduits of your blessing. You said that we are blessed to be a blessing. God, we pray this morning for the precious people in the Ukraine. Lord, the 32 churches, the drug and alcohol centers, the orphanages, the all the things, God, that we have there, and just in our Foursquare family, and there's many more in other wonderful Bible-believing families. We just pray protection over those that know you. We pray for your intervention into the midst of this conflict. We pray that there will be a quick end to this. We pray that you just intervene and bring peace and healing and reconciliation there, God. Meet the needs of your people. And Lord, we just love you and worship you in Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hey, next Sunday is going to be a great Sunday here in the house. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but we had planned to have Awaken with us on that final Sunday of our 21-day fast as we were entering the year, and we had to reschedule it. They caught COVID right before they were to come. And Scott and Lydia Ingenieri are gifted ministers of the Lord. Lydia's got one of the most beautiful voices and is one of the most anointed worship leaders you'll ever hear. They're going to lead worship next Sunday. They're going to minister. They flow in the prophetic, and I think you'll be really blessed. And we're going to meet not only next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., but we're going to invite them back at 6 p.m. for a little more of a personal ministry time. And I would just so encourage you to come out and receive from the Lord. There may be personal prophetic flowing that I just don't want you to miss. So make plans to be here next Sunday. I think you'll really receive something good from the Lord there. And then Growth Track coming up March 27th, if you're interested in joining the church. Freedom Conference coming up in April. Can't wait for that. That's for all of us. Freedom is not just an event, it's a journey. Even if you've been through the Freedom Conference before, I encourage you to go through it again. If you've never been, come out and find out. It is a beautiful time we have together, seeking the Lord together. Revelation Wellness coming up Saturday, April 2nd. And Nicaragua trip. I want to encourage you to pray about being a part this summer with us. So, amen. Let's dive into the Word of God this morning. I want to bring part two of a series that I've started with you called Unlocking the Kingdom of God. And as we dive into it this morning, my heart's heavy. And one thing I've always sought to do as your pastor is just be open and honest with you. I'm really beyond the days of being fake and plastic and acting like everything's fine when it's not. And I don't know. There's been so much of that in the church. I want what's real and authentic. How about you guys? And boy, this weekend, we were having a great weekend. In fact, we had a really wonderful life group Friday night. When we got home, some things just happened that absolutely burdened my wife and I's heart in a deep way, and it has to do with some of our family members and some of the struggles they're going through. And in all honesty, this weekend has been hell, man. It has been rough, and it's been very difficult. sometimes, you know, you keep moving forward. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. You keep persevering. You keep trusting. You keep, you know, I try to do exactly what I'm saying to you to do. You don't give up in the midst of the fight. You keep fighting. You don't throw up your hands and allow the enemy victory in any area. You keep pressing in. And I'm going to declare it this morning with passion. And I appreciate your prayers. So would you pray with me? Father, we just pray you'd visit us this morning. And Lord, those of us like me right here today that just need some fresh encouragement from your Spirit, I pray you'd minister that, Lord. I pray you'd bring that today. May your kingdom come, Lord, in our hearts and our lives and our homes. More of your kingdom, more love, more power. Lord, visit us. We need you, God. This is a battlefield we're living in, and there's challenges surrounding us. And yet, Lord, in the midst of it, you can protect us and give us peace and give us breakthrough and bring blessing. And we contend for that. In Jesus' strong name, we thank you for your kingdom coming and your will being done in each of our hearts and lives and homes in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 So what is the kingdom? Let's just kind of start by reviewing a couple of things from last week. If you weren't here last week and you didn't catch that message, I would really encourage you to do so. And I want to encourage you to just take notes as we go along, because we're really unpacking something. We're taking a deep dive. I've never taken quite this deep a dive into the kingdom of God. I'm studying and learning and growing in many things here that I think are really, really important for us as a body. They are what I'm contending for us as opponents. We talked about this last week. The kingdom of God's the rule and reign of God, his sovereignty and his dominion over all. If you're going to understand the kingdom, you have to kind of understand the multifacetedness of the kingdom that Scripture talks about. So God is over all. His kingdom rules and reigns over all. Secondly, the kingdom of God's a future realm where the fullness of the kingdom glory happens. This is commonly referred to as heaven, okay? In fact, at times you'll find in Scripture that Jesus alludes to the kingdom of heaven. At times he talks about the kingdom of God. Sometimes it has to do with which gospel you're reading. In the Gospel of Matthew, oftentimes Jesus is using that terminology, kingdom of heaven, because he's speaking to a largely Jewish audience. In Mark and Luke, he often talks about the kingdom of God, because he's speaking to that, those gospels are speaking to a Gentile audience. But the kingdom of God is also that future realm that you and I are going to inherit one day. And how many of you are looking forward to heaven? Amen? Me too. But how about a little bit of heaven here on earth? Wouldn't that be good? And that's number three. The kingdom of God's the realm of God we enter now through our new birth in order to experience the blessing of God's reign. It's the kingdom coming. It's the kingdom now and not yet. It's the breaking in of God's kingdom. And this morning, I want to talk about three things, okay? Three things we're going to look at and focus on today. The declaration and demonstration of the kingdom age that is upon us now. The demonstration and illustration of the kingdom age upon us now. And then the deliverance of believers now, right now, from this present evil age that we're living in. So let's dive in. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 gives us this really clear declaration and demonstration of the kingdom age that is upon us right now. Matthew 4, follow along with me. And it says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun," notice the caps here, "the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people," listen to this, "the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim," or to preach, "and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There's two really important facts from this passage that I want you to get this morning. Jesus declared the kingdom of God was at hand. That it was now, with his coming, to this earth. It was present. It was upon us. And then he gives us this really powerful imagery that I want you to think about with me this morning. Region and the shadow of death he speaks of. Whose realm is that, do you reckon? Whose realm or kingdom is he talking about there? It's certainly Satan's realm, Satan's kingdom, that has now been penetrated, if you will, by a great light. Jesus is saying light has dawned, that Jesus is that light, that an entrance has happened, a penetration, if you will, has occurred, that has brought the kingdom of God into a dark, devilish, dying world. I want you to notice this imagery. This is a powerful metaphorical picture that Jesus is painting for us. People who are caught in darkness and who have been ruled by and captured by the depravity of this world. But because God so loved the world, he sent his only son to bring light and freedom to the captives. So that now those who were in darkness, those who were captured in the depravity of this world, can be set free and have hope. This is the message of the kingdom. This is the good news. This is reason for rejoicing. Amen? Jesus is saying, there's reason for hope. The kingdom is now here. And guess what? My kingdom, God's kingdom, is bigger and it's stronger than that which has held people captive for centuries. Death and dying are no longer the only choices for you folks. There's now another choice on the menu, and it's called light and freedom. Then Jesus demonstrates this declaration. I love this about Jesus. He doesn't just talk, folks. He walks it out. Whatever he says, he does. And he declares it, and then he demonstrates it. You ready? Let me show it to you. Matthew chapter 4, a little further down the page. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. You want to see it again? Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. He repeats this. In other words, the rule and the reign of God is good news, folks, and it's breaking in among you. He declared, then he demonstrated. I love this. The kingdom of God is present now. If you will listen and you will take this in and you will ask the Lord for understanding, you're going to see some dots connect that are going to help you understand how to live this out in a fuller way than ever before. So here's what Jesus is doing. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, then healing all kinds of sickness, disease, and possessions. And he demonstrates that the kingdom is at hand and present right now. And this is huge for us. This is powerful. And some of you might say, well, that's great, Pastor, but Jesus isn't here physically in the flesh anymore to do all that stuff. Well, let me answer that for you. Because here's the really good news, right? You and I get to do the stuff. You and I get to be in on it. You and I are commissioned as it is his disciples. You and I are his hands, his feet, and his heart to this world. You and I are his representatives. You and I get in on the fun. We're not just sitting on the bench watching him and cheering him on. No, he's called us off the bench into the game and has commissioned us to go. And as we go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Let me show it to you. There it is. As you go, as I go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Now let me tell you, if you're just totally satisfied with being nothing more than a Sunday morning church goer, nothing more than a pew rider, then maybe this message honestly means nothing to you. But if you want your life to count for the kingdom of God, this ought to really excite you. This ought to speak to the deepest parts of you. This ought to absolutely cause you to get up and shout, folks. This ought to excite you to say, man, Jesus has called me. He's equipped me. He's given me the authority and the commission to be his representative. This is like God handing you a Glock 19, an AR-15, and a badge and saying, go out and take care of the bad guys. Go out and clean up the mess. Go out and make a difference. You've been equipped, church, to destroy the kingdom of darkness and to bring light and healing and deliverance to people in need. Problem has been, much of the church, for whatever reason, and the enemy loves to twist the truth, right? That we've just thought of the kingdom in a future sense. We think of kingdom of God, we think of heaven, we think of, you know, this in the sweet by and by. That's when all the good stuff's going to happen. That's when all the problems are going to be solved. That's when we're all going to rejoice and sing, you know, hallelujah to the Lamb. And we will, and that is good. But you know, kingdom starts now. Eternity starts now. The good stuff starts now. We get to be the ones, the very ones, commissioned by the Lord himself to bring the kingdom of light to those who are trapped in darkness. Jesus brought the kingdom at his appearing, penetrating this dark, devilish, dying world. Jesus demonstrated that by the healing and delivering of people. And Jesus still does that. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, remember? And he's still sending his disciples to do the same. It's a good place for an amen right there. I'm preaching better than your amen. And come on. Come on. Got to help me out here a little bit. Some people in the church have subtly settled for what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. The Greek word denying can also be translated resisting the power. Sometimes it boggles my mind. Sometimes I'm just so deeply concerned about the state of the church. Not this church, the church at large, the church as a whole, the church all over the world. Listen, you and I are supposed to have been changed by the gospel. And if you're changed by the gospel, then you're living your life in such a way that others are being changed by that same gospel. You've been changed so that you might be an agent of change, a catalyst for change in others. And I don't know what it is about us, but some of us, we just get a hold of that good news and then we just hold on to it just for ourselves, and God never meant it to be that way. I just went last week and saw my friend, my dear friend, who, when I was 15 years old, he led me to Christ. His wife just passed away 2 weeks ago. She was 62, and my heart just goes out to him. He's been through a very difficult season in his life. And every time I see him, I just want to thank him. I just want to thank him that he shared the gospel with me. He didn't even know that much about it, to be honest. I mean, he knew a lot more than I did. But, you know, he took what he had and he shared it, and it changed my life. And I'm so thankful for that. Listen, this word resisting, I'm just curious. Do you think any of us might just be resisting what God would really want to do through us? It's a good question for us to ask him. I want to tell you a little bit about a guy named John Wimber. I don't know how many of you are familiar with John Wimber. I never had the opportunity to officially meet John Wimber, but I did one time walk right beside him. I was at a conference in, trying to remember where that conference was. I think it was in New Orleans. And it was a conference on the Holy Spirit, and God was doing some amazing things through this guy named John Wimber. And I'd heard about him and I was interested to find out more. And it's actually, he's part of the reason that I ended up going to Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a second. But John Wimber was this interesting guy. He was a Quaker. And he started reading the Gospels. And the Gospels just began to absolutely transform the way he thought, the way he believed, the way he saw things. And where so much of the church has based its theology on the Pauline epistles, John Wimber went back and just started saying, you know what, I think we're missing a lot here in the Gospels that we need to be living out. The theme that just became prevalent for John Wimber was this theme of the kingdom. And he's like, what about the kingdom come? And he and his church, he had a church in Anaheim, California, and I have some dear friends that are here in this city, Dick and Linda Hefner. Some of you go to Dr. Hefner. He's your family doctor. He's a great man. But Dick and Linda are old friends, and Dick and Linda actually were in Southern California in the early days of the Vineyard movement when God began to visit the Vineyard with an outpouring of the kingdom that was absolutely unmistakable. And I'll never forget Dick telling me one day, he said, Jeff, he said, it was the most amazing thing. He said, we would all get to church early. He said, number one, you had to get to church early to even find a parking spot. Number two, you wanted to get there early because you wanted to see what God was going to do. And he said, God was doing amazing things like nothing we'd ever seen before. There was an outpouring that happened. But let me go back and tell you the genesis of this thing. John Wimber was reading the Gospels, and he's like, the kingdom has come. Jesus has brought the ushering into the kingdom, but why aren't we seeing kingdom things happen? And one of the phrases that came out of this is, when do we get to do the stuff? You know, when do we get to heal the sick? When do we get to pray over the blind and the mute? And when do we get to see the dead raised and all these things? When do we get to see the stuff? And for a year, for a solid year, John Wimber preached on nothing but the manifestation of the kingdom of God in our midst. And they didn't see one single person healed. Not one. For a good, solid year. Now, you can ask me the question, why did that happen, Pastor Jeff? I'm not sure if it just took that long to penetrate the doubt and the darkness that just is prevalent in our culture. I don't know exactly why it took a year. But they persevered, and they kept pressing in, and they kept seizing it by force. And they kept praying, your kingdom come, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come. And then one Sunday, it happened. And let me tell you, what happened from that day forward was nothing short of miraculous. Google it. Go back and look at it. It's amazing what happened. Out of that one little church in Anaheim, California, quickly, there were 900 Vineyard churches across America because God began doing stuff that was absolutely amazing. There was an incredible ministry that sprung from that into England that began to bring revival throughout many parts of England where the church was just dead. And God began to do things. His kingdom began to come. And people began to be healed. John tells the story. He's like, you know, somebody had told me about a lady in need, and I went to pray for her. And he said, I'd prayed for so many people to get healed, and nothing had happened that here I was. I was just going through the motions. And he said, she was in this sick bed. She couldn't even move. She was paralyzed, and I'm praying for her. And he said, I've been praying over people for a whole year, and nothing had happened. And he said, I was praying, and it wasn't really the most powerful, faith-filled prayer. And he said, but all of a sudden I looked, and she began to move. And something began to happen, and God's Spirit began to manifest, and healing began to come, and that lady was totally healed. And it was the beginning of an outpouring and a breakthrough. I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely concerned about contending for the coming of the kingdom. What if that happened here at New Song? Could we believe? Could we wait? Could we trust? Could we obey to the place that eventually a breakthrough would come because we were all so hungry for the coming of the kingdom, just like Jesus ushered in? The rest is history. God began to move powerfully through John Wimber in the Vineyard. Go check it out. I want to see the kingdom come in our midst, church. I'm willing to wait for the kingdom to come. I'm willing to welcome the greater kingdom revelation and demonstration in our midst right now. For that to happen, we've all got to be carrying some heavenly burden to see the kingdom of God work wonders and see sick people healed and see marriages restored and see lives changed for God's glory. But that's what I long for, and I hope you do too. Number two, a demonstration and illustration of the kingdom age upon us now. Matthew chapter 12, verses 20 through 29. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, there they are. Those religious rebels, right, that are always going to question, that are always going to criticize. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub. Beelzebub, the prince of demons, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Jesus, a little snarky there, a little sarcasm, right? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, listen to these words, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. You see that? Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? The demonstration was the healing of the possessed, blind, and mute man. The illustration was how the deliverance and healing happened. And I want you to get it. Jesus did what he did because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit upon him, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God empowers the actions of the kingdom of God. The only reason, by the way, that you and I, if you claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the only reason you can claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now is because the future power of the kingdom of God is available to you right now. We're not talking about the spirit of this age. We're talking about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the heavenly kingdom, the Spirit of the future kingdom that is to come. Jesus enters the strong man's house. Remember just a moment ago the imagery that we talked about of the light penetrating the darkness, right? You remember that? Who is the strong man? Satan is the strong man. His house is the present evil age that you and I are living in. Jesus has entered, he's come from heaven, he's stepped on this ball of dirt called earth. He's brought the kingdom of God with him, and he came with power. Jesus binds, Jesus hinders, Jesus minimizes the realm of Satan by bringing the kingdom of God into the situation. And by exercising the authority and the power of the kingdom of God into the situation. This is metaphorical. He's not tying him up with a kingdom rope, but he's minimizing his power. He's breaking in. He's coming against that which the enemy has taken for granted in people's hearts and lives. The enemy's held people captive, and Jesus has come to set them free. And Jesus says to his disciples, when they came back from the mission he sends them out on, from preaching the kingdom of God, they say to him, Jesus, we saw Satan fall like lightning. Or Jesus says, I saw Satan falling like lightning when you guys were out there preaching the kingdom and healing the sick. What was that metaphorically? Let me tell you, every time the kingdom is preached, every time you pray for somebody, every time the kingdom comes in its power and authority into someone's life, the enemy's being dethroned in their life and he's falling like from heaven. There's a stripping away of his power in that person's life. There's a kingdom coming that is greater, that is bringing deliverance and healing. Jesus brings real power to set people free. What were Satan's goods in the illustration, by the way? They were people. People that God dearly loves. People that God has paid the price for. People that God wants to experience the fullness of his love and his kingdom power. People held in captivity. People trapped in darkness. People trapped in despair. That's what Satan's goods are. And that's what Jesus came to set free. And that's what Jesus commissions you and I now to go in his power and his authority to bring freedom and hope to. Jesus plunders and Satan's and seizes Satan's goods. Jesus sets people free from Satan's tyrannical oppression. All by his appearing and bringing and demonstrating the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God on this earth, comes into this situation. He still does that today, and he's called us to do it too. I've mentioned is one of the incredibly respected theologians out there who wrote extensively, not only on the New Testament, but on the kingdom of God in particular. He's the guy who phrased the term that you often hear, the kingdom of God is the now and the not yet. Listen to some of his words. He was a brilliant man with an incredible heart for the Lord. Do you love the Lord's appearing? How many of you would say you love the Lord's appearing? Maranatha, till he comes. I can't wait till Jesus comes and makes this place new. Do you love the Lord's appearing? Then you'll bend every effort to take the gospel into all the world. It troubles me in the light of the clear teaching of God's word, in the light of our Lord's explicit definition of our task in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, that we take it so lightly. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is the good news of the kingdom. Christ has wrested authority from Satan. The kingdom of God has attacked the kingdom of Satan. This evil age has been assaulted by the age to come in the person of Christ. All authority is his authority. Go ye therefore. Wherefore? Well, because all authority, all power is his, and because he is waiting until we've finished our task. His is the kingdom. He reigns in heaven, and he manifests his reign on earth in and through his church. When we've accomplished our mission, he will return and establish his kingdom in glory. To us it is given not only to wait, but also to hasten the coming of the day of God. This is the mission of the gospel of the kingdom, and this is our mission. Is that powerful? Number three, deliverance of believers now from this present evil age. Galatians chapter 1 says, this grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. I don't know if you caught that. Let me just bring this home to you real quick. It's God's will for you to be delivered from this present evil age. It is, let me say it again, it's God's will for you to be delivered from this present evil age. You know what that means? It means you shouldn't look anything like it. It means you ought to be absolutely countercultural to this present evil age. It means you ought to stand out like light among darkness. It means your life ought to be salty. It means you ought to be a representative of Jesus in the midst of living zombies all around us who are lost and like sheep without a shepherd. You ought to be the one pointing them to the shepherd. You ought to be the one helping them find their way out of darkness. This is God's will. Jesus dying for our sins, paying the price for us, has delivered us from this present evil age. 2 Corinthians says that Satan is the god of this age. We must understand and appropriate the deliverance that's already happened. It's been accomplished for us, folks. We just have to appropriate it. We've been delivered from this present evil age. Let me show you a scripture that I think you're probably familiar with. Romans 12:2, I love this scripture. It says, do not be conformed to this world. The word there's aeon. It actually also can be translated age. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can we not be conformed to this present evil age while living in the midst of it? Let me ask you that question. How can we not be conformed to this present by the renewing of your mind through the power and the deliverance of the kingdom of God upon us? God's kingdom overrules Satan's kingdom every single time we appropriate it. Our salvation isn't just a future thing. It's a right now thing. No wonder this is called the good news, folks. Paul speaks of believers who, in Hebrews chapter 6, have tasted the heavenly gift. Oh, man. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Tasted of the heavenly gift. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. And have tasted the good word of God. And of the powers of the age to come. Did you catch that? Believers who've tasted of the powers of the age to come. Again, this is a foretaste, a foreshadowing of what's coming in fullness, folks. But we get to see it breaking in even now. We have the opportunity to taste heavenly gifts, to partake of the Holy Spirit's power, to taste the good word of God and the powers of the age to come right now. And the result will be deliverance, healing, transformation, freedom, fruit, power, and victory. I don't know about you, but it's time we start living in it now, folks, because it's available right now. The kingdom of God is present. No more forfeiting, squandering, neglecting the powers of the age to come. God's calling us to walk in kingdom power. Let's bring light and hope and power to captives so they can be set free. Can you see how God wants to restore his church to a place of power and purpose? He's working right now, I believe it, all over this world to restore his church, his bride, to a beautiful bride that brings freedom and hope and purity to people. Jesus' prayer, listen, by the way, Jesus' prayer right here in Matthew chapter 6 gives us permission and instruction on how to pray with power and purpose. Look at it. He says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Deliver us from evil. You know what that word evil is in the Greek? It's the word porneia. What do you think we get from that word? Something that is absolutely trying to captivate our whole world. Something that is absolutely trying to hold captive our whole world. A generation of young people. Access to things that you and I would have had to go on into deep, dark places to access, but they've got it right at their fingertips now. The statistics are alarming, they're amazing, they're horrible, they're saddening, right? 80-some percent of the men that sit in churches all over America addicted to pornography. Deliver us from evil. How are we ever going to reach the world if we're addicted to pornography? You tell me that. You think that's the kind of bride Jesus is coming back for? Jesus wants to clean us up, folks. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from porneia. Deliver us from human depravity. We can be delivered. We can walk in freedom. Why? Because he goes on. For or because. Our reason for asking you, Lord, is because yours is the kingdom. your rule, your reign, your good pleasure to give to your children the kingdom of God. Yours is the power. It's the dunamis, the dynamite, miracle-working power, God. And yours is the glory, the eternal, transcendent, majestic glory of God. It changes people. Let me tell you, if there's enough power and glory in the kingdom of God to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, don't you think there's enough power and glory for you? Shamed you to set you free from those besetting sins that have held you back and shamed you so you wouldn't take a step to represent the Lord. There's enough power and glory for your marriage. There's enough power and glory for your family, for your sons, for your daughters, for whatever situation you're facing. But the kingdom suffers violence. And you're going to have to take it, church, by force. You're going to have to press in for more of the kingdom in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward quickly. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you need a breakthrough. Maybe you're just under a cloud of oppression. Maybe you have just had a tough week. Pam shared about the tough week she had. I shared about the tough week I've had. There's breakthrough, folks. Don't give up and don't give in. Instead, press in. Press in and believe the Lord for breakthrough. Amen? I need my ministry team up front here, guys. I'm going to give you a chance to come and be prayed for here in just a few minutes. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. And then I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to press in. I want you to believe. I want you to trust the Lord for breakthrough. Let's pray, Lord, we thank you today that we are not helpless victims who are just caught in the midst of a tragic consequence, a tragic world, a difficult place, a difficult scenario. No, no, no. We are those who are following a king in his kingdom that has come to break into the midst of this darkness and bring light. And Lord, in our own hearts and lives, we can have light, we can have blessing, we can have breakthrough, we can have healing, we can have restoration because it's in your kingdom.
Yes, yes.
And your kingdom has come. Live according to your word, that we might live by the power of your spirit, that we might recognize and receive breakthroughs and blessings in our lives, in our body, in our spirit, our soul, in every part of who we are, God, because you're our king and it's your kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I told you that my little saying for this series is simply in his kingdom. Amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. And whatever needs you have as we sing, man, please come. Let a brother or sister agree with you. Pam talked about that power that there is in agreement. And get a breakthrough for you this morning. Get a breakthrough. We'll worship together. I'll come back and close this in a minute. God bless you.
You stood outside my grave. Tears still on your face, and I heard you say my name, and my night was turned to day, 'cause you came. Oh, I knew that you would come, and you sang, and my heart, it woke up. Now I'm not afraid to see your face, 'cause I am alive. You came. Oh, I knew that you would come. Oh, you came. I knew you'd come. You to God, you always come. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. Blessed are those who believe it before they can see it. You're right on time. Right on time.
Test, test, test. Here we go. I'm going to invite Don to come. Don, encourage me with something for us to do before we dismiss today. I sure appreciate this brother a lot. And, God brought he and Bessie here all the way from the other side of the U.S. And they've just been a blessing ever since they've stepped in these doors. If you haven't gotten to know this couple, they're a really, really precious couple that love the Lord with all their heart. So Don, just share a little bit about, come on up here real quick so we can see you good. I don't want you.
Pastor was sharing about his weekend, and I felt like the Lord impressed me that we should gather around him and hold him up in prayer. We should pray for him and his family, we the congregation. So I'm going to invite him to step down a little bit. I know we're off camera, but I want people to be able to get around him and lay hands on him and pray for him. And I feel that like Joshua and Aaron held up the hands of Moses, their leader, that we need to hold up Pastor Jeff and his family and ask God to bless and to move. He's preached to us about the authority that we have, and he's brought God's word to us. Let's invoke that authority to command the enemy to take his hand off of the pastor, off of Tracy, off of his family. In Jesus' name, Father, we come before you, Lord God, and we We hold up the hands of our pastor, Lord, and we ask you to move in their lives, Lord God. Father, under the authority of your word, we bind the enemy, we cast him down, and we command him to take his hands off of Pastor Jeff's family, Lord God. His children, Lord, we loose them, we free them, Lord God. We ask your spirit to enter in. Lord, your word says that where the enemy tries to come in, that you will raise up a standard against him, Lord. We ask you to raise up that standard in Pastor Jeff's children, Lord God. Hannah, Isaiah, Lord God. Do what only you can do in their lives, Lord. Break the yokes and the shackles and the fetters and the chains that the enemy would try to wrap around them, Lord. We rebuke him in Jesus' name, and we command him to take his power. We speak freedom. We speak the life of the Holy Spirit into each of their lives, God. Just be a hedge and a shield about all of them, Lord God, his whole family. Where the enemy would bring strife, bring your peace, Lord, your shalom. Let it reign and rule in their hearts and their lives and in their family. And, oh God, we ask this in Jesus' mighty, wonderful, glorious name. Lord, you said you would uphold us with your righteous right hand, and we pray that for our pastor and his family. Thank you, Father God. How glorious and how wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. We praise and worship you. Glory to your righteous and wonderful name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name.
You all so much. It just means the world to Tracy and I. Thank you, Don. Thank you for just being sensitive to the Lord there. Man, I receive it. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. He's good. And Lord, go with us now and just let your face shine upon us and your light shine through us to this world around us that's struggling and lost in darkness. God, may we be the hope and the answer. May we step out in boldness and faith, bringing your kingdom, its beauty, its marvel, its wonder into the hearts and the lives of so many broken people. God, use us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.